The president's daughter and advisor, Ivanka Trump, has brought the issue of paid family leave back into the spotlight. Last summer, she partnered with Florida Senator Marco Rubio to push a bill that would allow parents to use their future Social Security benefits to take time off after having a baby. On the other side, many House Democrats introduced the Family Act, which would provide up to 12 weeks of paid leave. And many Democratic presidential candidates have made the issue central to their campaigns.
Right now in the U.S., a mother who has a baby is entitled to 12 weeks of unpaid leave under the Family Medical Leave Act, known as FMLA. But this is only if she's a full-time employee of a company that has more than 50 employees and has worked there for nearly a year.
The fact is, the U.S. is one of only 8 countries in the world that doesn't have paid family leave available to parents. That's according to our next guest.
So it's the U.S., Suriname, Papua New Guinea, and 5 small Pacific Island states. Everyone else in the world guarantees mothers paid leave.
That's Amy Robb joining us via Skype. She's principal research analyst with the World Policy Analysis Center and the UCLA Fielding School of Public Health. She researches maternity leave policies across the world in countries rich and poor and can compare and contrast the differences, some of which might surprise you.
She spoke more about it with our co-host Lauren Gilger, and they began their conversation a little closer to home. How do we compare to our immediate neighbors, Canada and Mexico?
So in Canada, they recently extended their leave to allow parents to share up to a year and a half of paid family leave. And Mexico guarantees mothers 12 weeks of paid leave and has a few days available to fathers as well.
So let's talk about the range of ways in which countries approach paid family leave then. Like, how is it that most countries propose to pay for this?
So we did an in-depth look a year ago across other high-income countries. And what we found is that every country that's part of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, which is all higher-income countries, so every country except for the U.S. that's part of that funds their paid maternity leave benefits, at least in part, through Social Security or public funds. So this isn't something that's just a burden on employers. This is something that people are paying into with their payroll taxes or government is paying for out of public funds.
Does it affect a country's business sector growth or the growth of certain economies?
So we've found no evidence that paid leave causes differences in GDP growth or labor force participation or unemployment rates. And what the evidence shows is that paid leave can be good for individual outcomes for women's labor force participation, for firms being able to retain valuable female employees. Studies in country have found that having maternity leave increases the probability that a woman is going to return to work after she takes her leave. And we also see lower risk of poverty in countries with more generous parental leave policies, particularly for single mothers.
So there does seem to be also like a free market argument here in the U.S. about this, right? Like that businesses can decide for themselves what kind of leave to provide, if any. And so then we see companies like Google, like Facebook, lots of tech companies providing and kind of boasting about their family leave policies. We're even seeing the expansion of paternity leave, right? So how does this affect workers, though, on the bottom of the pay scale who aren't working for those kind of companies?
I think that's the big concern. So even FMLA benefits higher income workers more than lower income workers because they're more likely to be able to afford to take that unpaid leave. And we know that paid leave matters not only for family finances, but also for mother's ability to recover after childbirth, for infant health. It helps with establishing exclusive breastfeeding, which has benefits for health. It can help with ensuring parents have time to take their child to infant well visits and to begin getting those vaccinations on time. So it's a really important policy, not just for those economic pieces, but also for health.
So as Congress kind of brings up this debate again, right, like some kind of paid family leave policy, whether it's taking money from our Social Security benefits later in life and using them now or some other approach that may pop up, what do you think needs to be considered in that debate now that we're having it?
I think we need to consider payment levels. So we need to make sure that paid leave is affordable for low-income families to take as well as for higher-income families. We also know from the research that it's good when both parents can take leave so that dads can be more involved in childcare from the early stages, which sets the stage for more equal involvement throughout life, as well as more equal economic opportunities for women. So it's not just women taking paid leave. A big determinant of whether fathers also take leave is payment level, because in many households, men still earn more than women. And I think we need to take a hard look at the duration of paid leave to ensure that it's long enough to support better economic outcomes for families and better health outcomes.
All right. Amy Robb is a principal research analyst for the World Policy Analysis Center and the UCLA Fielding School of Public Health. Amy, thank you so much for joining us to tell us about this.
You're welcome.